This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Joining me this morning on Hope Breakfast is Sydney-based author of more than 35 books, whose latest is The Golden Tower, and it is out today. Good morning to you, Belinda Morrell.
Thank you so much, Sam. Good morning.
How do you come up with so many ideas? That's a lot of books to write.
I know it is. Some of them are very tiny, which is it doesn't take so long. But I don't know. I just look for ideas all around me, and I guess it helps having my own busy, crazy family with three kids and dogs and pets. And so I draw on those experiences and adventures for my inspiration.
That makes me a little bit concerned, because in this book, there's a girl named Sophie who's kidnapped by a cat.
Yes.
Has this happened in your house, where a cat's taken anyone hostage?
Well, cats can be very sneaky. I love cats, and I just thought the idea of having a cat that was really sarcastic and that could talk, I just thought, oh, what kid wouldn't love that?
It's true. Well, let's talk about this book, The Golden Tower. There's a world that you've built here, a world where flying horses exists, where,
yes,
you know, cats take people hostage. Where do you come up with those ideas? Like, it's kind of like a fantasy world, but you've even created it in your own unique way.
Absolutely. It was such a joy to create this world. And I guess I was looking at what I love about children's books, and one of my inspirations was probably Narnia, which is probably one of my all-time favourite books when I was a child. And it was that idea of a world that was filled with magic, mystery and wonder and talking animals and magical creatures, and that a normal everyday kid like me, or like Sophie, could step through this doorway or this portal and go into this magical world and have all these adventures that were really dangerous that you couldn't actually have in the real world. And I've always loved that idea.
That's cool. But the really great thing is about the world that you created here, it's not just a fictional world. It's kind of based and inspired by a real place. Can you tell us about how you created this world, but also treading the line between a fictional world and one that's based in reality?
I think the best fantasies are always based in reality. So I've written some other fantasy books, and again, it was this idea of creating a magical world, but very firmly rooted in reality. And so this world of mine, which I call Tussia, is based very loosely on Renaissance Italy, and particularly Tuscany. And so it was a holiday I went with my family, and we're exploring the beautiful countryside in Tuscany, all those gorgeous little historic hillside towns with their castles and their towers. I'm obsessed with towers at the moment. Mm. And, so I drew upon the history and the culture of Renaissance Italy, but particularly the folklore and the fairy tales. And so that sort of all that research, even though it's a fantasy novel, it took months and months of research to bring it all together and create this world.
Yeah, it's very cool. Now, I'd love to know, because I was reading the acknowledgements at the back of the book, and what I love about this story is that there are a number of real Italian women who served as inspiration for Sophie, the lead character. Can you share,
yes,
some of those women with us? Because they're quite inspiring.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There was a couple of things that really inspired me. I love Italian women. They're so feisty and they're so strong, and they can't, you know, they stand up for themselves no matter what. And I feel like sometimes we come from a more meek and mild English tradition, or at least my family does. And so I love these Italian women. And I was reading about Renaissance Italy, and sometimes when you study history, you get the feeling that women actually never really existed, because they hardly mention or they hardly do anything, whereas these Italian women did amazing things. So some of them were Isabella d'Este. Of course, there was Lucrezia Borgia. There was Caterina Sforza. And some of these women, they were engaged when they were really young, maybe 6 or 8. They were married at about 15. And they were a real part of their dynasty, so that they were political analysts. They led armies, their husbands were kidnapped, and they marched on a castle and rescued their husbands. And they did all these really incredible things that I didn't know about, and I'm sure lots of people didn't know about. So I used these characters as inspiration for various characters in my Golden Tower book. So, yes, and the other thing I loved was Italian fairy tales. So if you think about Rapunzel that we know, you know, Rapunzel's stuck in a tower when she's a baby. She hangs around until Prince Charming comes and rescues her, and then she gets out of the tower, but not in the Italian version, which was the original Petra Sinella version from centuries before Rapunzel. In that one, this girl, oh, she's sassy. She uses her own courage and her own wits to get herself out of trouble. So she doesn't wait around hanging for a male to rescue her. And I drew on all of these sort of elements to create my world for the Golden Tower.
I'm curious, you've been in the kids' literature world for a little while, and I know you come from a line of authors as well.
Yes.
Have you seen the conversation change about girls and being more strong characters throughout the time that you've been writing?
Absolutely. When I first started writing, my first book was published about 14 years ago, and I have three children, two boys and a girl in the middle, Nick, Emily and Lachlan. And so I noticed when my daughter was around 8 or 10, all the books she was reading had boy main characters. So we had Percy Jackson, we had Harry Potter, we had Ranger's Apprentice, all these amazing, amazing, fabulous books, but they all had boys front and centre. And I thought, I want my daughter to be reading books where there's a strong girl protagonist that she can look up to and aspire to be like that. And so my very first series had boys and girls, but about my fourth book, I decided to write a really strong girl protagonist for my daughter, Emily, and I went on with that. So since then, most of my books have had really strong female protagonists. They might start out shy or lacking in confidence, a bit like Sophie, but she learns strength and she learns to find her courage throughout the book. And I think this is really, really important for girls to have these strong female protagonists to look up to and aspire to.
Now, you open up this book, this brand new book, The Golden Tower, and the first few pages of this book is actually a glossary of words that is spoken in the land of Tusia. Can you teach us some of these words? Because I think it's pretty incredible that you've created a language for this world.
Well, I must say I cheated and I actually used a lot of Italian words that I love, of course, or Tuscan words.
Yeah.
And so some of them I invented, or I thought I invented, like Pegaso, which was for a flying horse, which is obviously has a written Pegasus. And then, of course, I just wanted to give this flavour of this Italian exotic character. So I have one of my boy characters, Nico, is very fond of saying allora, which actually means wow or just so or then. And then I use other Italian words like arrivederci or attacco and little things like that just to give it this flavour of being Italian or Tuscan. So, yes, so while some of the words are made up, others are just drawn directly from Italian and just giving that sort of little bit of flavour, which was so much fun. But I was a little bit devastated when my editor found that actually my made-up word of Pegaso was actually already being used somewhere. So that wasn't quite as original as I thought, but I was trying.
Any pizza or cannelloni or anything
yes,
like
I've
that?
Yes, I've got one of my, the chef is called Signora Cannoli, which is after an Italian dessert, which I actually am quite fond of. So, and I know my my publisher also really loves cannoli as well. So I thought it was a little bit of an inside joke to call her after one of our favourite Italian foods.
Nice. I like that. Now, did you write this through COVID last year?
I did. And it had such resonance for me because while I started researching it a couple of years ago, I actually sat down during COVID and I was so grateful to have this project to focus on. It was a bit hard to be creative during that whole lockdown time, I felt, but at least it gave me something to work on. And this idea of the girls being locked in the tower, I felt that sort of sense of depression and this sense of claustrophobia that they would have had, and almost this panicky feeling of, well, because we were all in lockdown as I was writing it. So I felt like this added this kind of extra sense to the novel that I was quite lucky to be writing it at that time, that gave me a real insight into how those characters might be feeling at the time.
And I guess in future years, as you look back on your, you know, back catalogue and you see this book as the one that you wrote through that time and was inspired by that time, it's quite special.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited about this book. What I can't believe is, as you said, I've written over 35 books and every time one comes out, I get so excited and I love seeing the book come from straight from the printer and then I love seeing it in bookstores. And then the thing I love the most is getting the letters from the kids saying, oh, Belinda, I love this book. You're the best author in the whole universe. And I love those letters.
It is very special. I was reading an article just earlier today about the fact that there's been a bit of a resurgence in reading over the last year because of COVID. Have you noticed that, maybe in the correspondence that you've got from kids reading?
Oh, absolutely, especially from poor Melbourne. A lot of kids down in Melbourne love my books and they write to me quite regularly. So they might write to me once a month or once every few weeks. And there was a lot of them during various times in lockdown where they, I think they felt inspired to reach out and just say, oh, know, Belinda, you know, what are you writing? How's it going? How are you experiencing lockdown? Asking me what I was reading, whatever it might be, giving me some tips on what to do. Mm. And so that was really quite lovely to feel this connection with readers during that time. And definitely I know myself, I found had so much more time to read, and I absolutely loved just sort of having the time to sit back with a book and really enjoy it, something I really relish in holidays. And then in between time, I find myself getting really busy and I mean to read more, but I don't. So lockdown was a perfect chance just to reconnect with my love of reading and reading the sorts of books I love to read, not just research books and work books.
Mm, that's excellent. Before you go, Belinda, I'd love to ask you about books in homes. I'd never really heard about this before, this initiative, but you're an ambassador for it. Can you explain what Absolutely. Books in homes is and how it works?
Oh, look, yeah, it's a fantastic program. And what it is there's lots of, especially out west or in regional areas, where there are kids that come from, you know, different backgrounds or poorer backgrounds. Some of them don't even have a single book in their own home. And the idea of this program is that the kids get a bag full of books, and they're donated by different publishers, and lots of authors and publishers support books in homes. And then the school has this big assembly, and they invite an author ambassador to go out and speak to the kids. And over the years, I've been to so many of these. And actually, I've been to schools where I went maybe 5 years before, and then I went 5 years later, and I got to meet the same kids, which is to see how they'd grown up in that time. It was just fantastic. So I'm a really big supporter of books in homes and also Room to Read. I'm also an author ambassador for Room to Read, which is great, which is promoting literacy in third world countries. So I promote at home and overseas as well. So great, great charities.
Yeah, excellent. Well, you're doing an amazing thing, not just writing books, but supporting those kids to get reading as well. If Belinda Morell's brand new book, The Golden Tower, it is out today, and you can find out more about Belinda at belindamorell.com.au. Thank you for joining me on Hope Breakfast and for writing such a great book, as well as many others, of course, too.
Oh, thank you so much, Sam. It was a joy to be here.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.